The Sales Performance Show, your source of inspiration in the world of sales and business development. Here we blend cutting-edge sales strategies with personal development. You'll hear from the experts to help unlock your true potential. And now, here's your host, David Sliman.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. I'm your host, David Sliman. Listen, I love doing this show, and this is a special one for me. We've had a lot of CEOs and business owners in this show, and a lot of them have had experience for 10, 15 years, and we have a guest today who is an up-and-coming CEO. Been in place, actually, we talked about this just a minute ago, coming up on their four-year anniversary of their business, and it's a great business. It's really one of those biz. I love the model. I love what the company has accomplished. We have the CEO or the CAO with us today, which we'll talk about here in a minute. And it's a really interesting time for our guests' life cycle in the business. Or not quite an infant, not quite grown up, but right in the middle there, has learned a lot. In the business world, and has found herself as a CEO or CAO, as we'll call it here. And I am excited for her to share her story on how she got to this point and what's going on now and what's for the future. So, Megan Kennedy, welcome to the Sales Performance Podcast Show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, all right. So to give our listeners a little bit of background about yourself, we're going to talk about your company and give them all an idea of what you do as a company, but give us a little background about yourself and how you got this point today.
So my background is actually in outdoor guiding. Good Trip is an outdoor guiding company. And before I ever worked on the business side of the guiding world, I was a guide myself. And I still continue to guide in the parks as well. That's my passion. I love taking people into the outdoors. I'm someone who I sort of like gently spent time in the outdoors, went to summer camp, but I was not the kid who was, you know, going on long hikes. We did not go on big camping trips when I was a kid. So I didn't even realize that was an option as a career. And it was actually when I was studying abroad in, I think, 2006, I went to an activity center in the UK, and I was like, I was in school for journalism at the time. So like complete opposite, indoors, reading, that kind of thing. And went to this activity center, saw that there were guides, they were jumping in the ocean, they were kayaking and hiking. And not only that, they were really helping people engage with the environment. So we were learning about the ecosystem there, learning about the wildlife that lives there and how it all works together. And I just thought that was the most fun thing in the world. So I remember my mom came to visit for Thanksgiving that year, and I was like, I'm going to be an outdoor guide. And she was like, the hell you are, you know, you're going to stay in school and finish your journalism degree. So I did, but I kept thinking about that place and kept thinking about that as a career. And I actually think it was a good thing that I ended up finishing, you know, a degree in, you know, English literature and language. I think that the communication skills certainly have helped and it informed some things about creating a company. But I just kind of started getting some certifications to become a guide. I ended up actually using my English degree, writing a very pathetic and desperate letter to that place in the UK that I wanted to work. And they ended up hiring me, taking me under their wing, showing me how to be a guide. And so I kind of progressed doing that. And I was going back and forth between the UK and New York City actually at the time. And funny enough, I found a guiding company in New York that offered tours from the city. So we would meet folks in Manhattan on like 76th and Broadway. And then we would go out into the amazing state parks of New York.
So
Harriman State Park and even up back to the Adirondacks. And we would do like intro to backpacking and just like day hikes and things. So it was really about like building community, but again, like teaching people those skills of how to be in the outdoors. So my background is really kind of in that guiding world, which I still really love. The story sort of continues as I went to the UK, went to Scotland for grad school in outdoor education. I was working for that company, Discover Outdoors. You sort of know the story of they hired me back to work for this new company they had been acquired by. I was going to be the regional manager of the Northern Rockies. So I came out to Bozeman, where I am today, and I was going to help them kind of set up the guiding portion of another company that they were working with that this Discover Outdoors had been acquired by. They were booking all of the trips. They were like booking the hotels, they were booking the guides. And then this other company had wanted to have that in-house, have the guiding portion of that company in-house. And then
you found yourself thrown into this, right?
Yeah, I mean, long story short, the company that had acquired the company I was working for was not necessarily doing things so above board. So it was pretty quickly. I got out here and my first day of work, I called the founder of Discover Outdoors, who I had worked with for years, and was like, what's going on here? This doesn't feel right.
That's right.
Over the course of the next year, we kind of like things come out. We were fighting to get the company back. It changed hands a few times in attempts to save it. But April 1st of 2020, with COVID in conjunction with everything else that had happened, the new owner of Discover Outdoors finally pulled the plug and was like, nope, we're not doing this again. Right. We've lost too much money. It's not happening. So 20 days later, my former business partner and I started Good Trip. So again, we're coming up on our fourth birthday on April 20th of this year. So very exciting.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It's been an exciting ride. But yeah, I think we really saw that, like, we were the ones that had created the relationships on the ground with the suppliers, with the national parks. We were the guides. Like, we didn't need to pay a middleman to do those things. We're the ones that are on the ground. And that's really what we've built our business on, is a lot of people are selling travel in places where they don't live. And there are reasons why that might make sense for some places. It really doesn't make sense in the national parks. And so to have a guide-led company, guide-owned, guide-led, everyone in the office still guides in the parks, it allows us to like have a finger on the pulse of what's happening in our local national parks, from weather to road conditions to all the things that really, you know, help our clients experience the national park in the most seamless way. But we're also able to work with travel advisors to be that on the ground, you know, partner as far as just the itinerary consultation, and then just keep everything in house. So we don't have to like upcharge everything. We're able to pay our guides a living wage, but we're also able to, you know, give the client the best experience and the best information. So it's worked out really well. And I still get to guide, but I get to put together the itineraries and I get to work with an awesome team that I really love.
Yeah. And essentially, I mean, you've explained it here, but you'll do private tours, you'll do group tours. You got contacts within most of the national parks throughout the country. Is it more regional?
So we're in about 30 of the U.S. national parks. There are 63 national parks now. 2020, not only did 2020 get Good Trip, they also got a new national park in the New River Gorge. So we're at 63 now. There are some that we're probably never going to directly work in. But a lot of our guide team has experience. Like, we have some guides that have been to every single U.S. national park. Some have worked in some of the parks where we don't necessarily have a team on the ground. So for those, we kind of more provide that like travel agent support. Places like Hawaii, I would really rather work with local guides there than there. Opposed to build my own team. But yeah, we're in about 30, and that's East Coast, out to the West, Southwest, up in Alaska as well. So we're kind of all over. You know, there's some parks that like, what is it? The Gateway Arch National Park. I don't know how much guiding you really need to do there. Right. You know, so who knows if we'll ever be there. But you were in a lot of the big ones, Yosemite, Yellowstone, Grand Canyon, you know. Yeah.
Love it. All right. So now we're talking about somebody who was joining a company, doing the operations. Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, the company decides they're going to go by the wayside or do whatever they do. And you see this opportunity. You've got people who were already set up. You see this opportunity to start your, really jump in. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you weren't planning on being the CEO of the company. And talk to me about when you first started, because you do have some partners, right? Mm-hmm. I mentioned a partner, and I think you have partners in the company now, but you jump right in and you're like, what the heck?
Yeah. Yeah, it was definitely not something I was planning. It was funny. It was something I had thrown around for a long time that I actually would have loved to open up an activity center like the one I worked at in Wales, in the US. I think that's something that we don't really have here. That is something that they have a lot of in the UK. I love the idea of kind of like an adult summer camp where people are coming to a destination and doing these activities, but not really like a resort. Again, something that's like really kind of part of the ecosystem and has more of that educational adventure, you know, travel focus. So I'd thrown that around for a long time and had thought about what I wanted and like what that would look like with ownership. I always knew I didn't want to do anything like this alone. I know how much work it is. My mom's an entrepreneur as well, and I've seen how difficult that can be. So it was a challenge that I was, you know, excited for, but knew I wanted a business partner in that. But as I had been working as like the regional manager, I had kind of realized that I appreciated the boundaries that not being an owner provided. So I was like, maybe I actually like this sort of like middle management situation where I, you know, especially at a smaller company where I have a lot of say, I have the ear of the owner and then CEO, but I can kind of like clock out at the end of the day. And I remember having that conversation like a month or two before all this happened. I was like, I'd finally come to peace with not doing this. And the universe had a different
life throws you. Life throws you a curveball and puts you, you were ready.
I must have been. Yeah. And then, you know, I, there was a lot of fear, but when I thought about what it would entail, it was like so much of this, because of all the things that had happened over the previous year with the changes in ownership. I mean, literally I knew the company better than the person who owned it before, you know, we created Good Trip. So I was like, I'm already doing all of this stuff. There's the sort of legal part of setting up the business that feels really daunting. But once we even started that, I was like, if you want to start a business, people will walk you through it. So it's kind of like buying a house for the first time. Before you go through the process, you're like, how do I even start to do this? And then you realize like the realtor and the bank, they know what they're doing. They're going to help you get set up. So they're going to guide you. So kind of just like went through all those steps, made sure we had filed all the paperwork. And then when it came down to the operation stuff, it was a lot of stuff that I kind of was already doing. As things have grown also, I'm definitely someone who doesn't need to be an expert at everything. I love having a team that I trust and that I hire people if I don't know how to do it. I'm like, great. I don't want to do that. I don't know how to do that. I'm going to find the right person who can handle that. No. So I started the company with one partner. He realized, I think he kind of knew from the beginning that entrepreneurship was not something he wanted to do forever. But it was something he wanted to try in the short term. And so he took us through the first 3 years of the company. And then at 3 years, we turned some of that ownership over to two women that I had worked with for a few years of the company. One I had worked with since 2014 at Discover Outdoors, and she's incredible. She's built, and I knew she could because I'd seen her do it at the previous company, built an amazing guide team. She's an absolutely fantastic educator. So she really makes sure that our guides are trained, that, you know, the best of the best. They have the best education, the best, you know, experience. She just finished up a guide training down in Zion, training some new guides that we have. And she's just really great with that kind of community aspect. And then Alex brings on a lot of the kind of operation stuff that I hate to do, all of the like spreadsheets and the systems and things. So I come up with the crazy ideas like, what if we did it this way? And then I'm like, Alex and Lauren can both put things into spreadsheets. Mine will be like chaotic notes and post-its all over the place. We're a beautiful little tripod now.
That's the way you got to do it. You got to surround yourself with people. If you're all at the same strengths, I feel like you're going to be more, I guess you'll butt heads a little bit more when it comes to that. When you identify that there's things that you do well that other people don't do well, that's a great sauce in surrounding yourself with partners, because sometimes partners can be, I'll be honest, sometimes partners can be challenging. Yeah. It is what it is. Mm-hmm. But if you really align yourself with some great people who have different skill sets than you, then it really encompasses. So going back to that first year, what were some of the biggest challenges that came up that going into this, you really didn't think about, and how did you handle them?
So, you know, there were some things with like finances, managing finances, budgeting, that was not really something that I had worked on in the business. You know, the first year we were doing everything ourselves, which I'm sure is pretty true of most small business owners, and certainly of ones that didn't really have much of a plan. You know, it was 20 days in between when we got the other company closed and we started a new one. So Tyler and I, and then my partner, Colin, we guided all of the trips. I was in touch with all of the travel agents. So there wasn't as much of the like management of a guide team, but really the financials, were the big thing that I was like, and kind of continue to be the big thing, like the financial strategy. Mm-hmm. I would say the accountant that we work with is fantastic for like tracking things. But, even over like up until recently, we're still working on how do you budget for something? Number one, that has grown beyond what we expected it to at all. That like now we have so many more people relying on us. You know, we've got an office team of like 12 and then a guide team of like 50 to 70, you know, depending on the year. So that's an enormous responsibility. The responsibility of, and I truly care about everyone that works for us. So it's not like, oh, we didn't make it this year. We can lay so-and-so off. No, like that's not an option. The managing the finances, managing margins, being really smart about how to, especially, you know, in a service-based industry where margins are not as high as some other industries. Also trying to make sure that, you know, our finances align with our values. I am very much not a capitalist, as I mentioned to you before. So we really try to make sure that, you know, wages are spread out evenly around the company. So like everyone's making pretty much the same hourly wage. It's just that some folks work more than others. And so being able to kind of do that and make good financial decisions kind of at every turn with some pretty, you know, slim margins and make sure that everyone's making a living wage. That to me kind of has been the biggest challenge.
Yeah. Listen, that is a big one. Mm-hmm. One, you have to make sure you have a model that's going to make money, mm-hmm. especially over time. And I think it is. I think it takes 5 years mm-hmm. on the average mm-hmm. for business to be profitable.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're ahead of the curve. Mm-hmm. But two, you have to keep a pulse on it, and you have mm-hmm. to understand what makes money for the business, mm-hmm. where you put resources. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you're going to try things mm-hmm. like you're going to go, you know, let's give this a shot. And it's might not work out. Mm-hmm. And then there's some things in a home run.
Yeah.
Right. So talk to me a little bit about that. Are there any things like that you've done, and you can go either way on this, mm-hmm. that were like, yeah, we tried this, it didn't work, or we tried this and it was really successful for our business and getting back in it?
Yeah. So funnily enough, I would say the thing that all of us as guides are probably the most passionate about are our small group set departure tours. So those are the tours where strangers can kind of show up. We've set a date. 4th of July, we all meet and we do a week-long tour of Yellowstone and Grand Teton National Park. It's an opportunity for you to meet like-minded travelers, for you to maybe, it's a little bit more kind of budget-friendly because you're kind of sharing that space with other travelers. And we love that as guides. They're so fun. People are so appreciative of it. You feel like you really get to know people on those tours because you get to spend a full week with them. Versus kind of the travel agent partner trips that are more private, even our like private day tours and things like that, where you might only get to know someone for a day or two, maybe they're doing a bunch of different activities. The problem is the travel agent trips, the day tours, those have absolutely taken off. Those are far more profitable. They are because travel agents, which who knew people were still using travel agents to this extent, but they are, and they are fantastic partners to us, and they talk to each other. I mean, the word of mouth business that we have gotten has just been astronomical. I mean, literally every time I work with a new travel agent from a new agency and they have a good experience, they're like, this was so incredible. I'm going to tell everyone, I want you to do a webinar for my new travel agency. And then all of a sudden 50 new travel agents are reaching out to us. I mean, it's out of control how that happened. Yeah. Meanwhile, the stuff that we like really, really, really love to do, those small group trips, are just not taking off the way we want to. if they were to sell out, they could actually probably have a higher profit margin than the travel agent trips, because the travel agent trips also take, they're more custom, they tend to be more luxury. They definitely take more time to build. So that kind of difference of like, we're still doing what we love by providing those group tours, but like the strongest passion would be those small group tours. And they just haven't worked out for us yet in the way that we want. They're growing every year. They're growing a lot more slowly. The good news is like when people come on them, we've got some clients who have been on 4 or 5 trips with us. So at, like in 4 years, they've come back to multiple trips. And that's amazing. There's probably 5 or 6 people that now they've done that and they're coming back and they're telling their friends. But that's been a hard one. And that's like, I have gotten some advice from some mentors who are like, maybe just pull the plug on that. It's not working. And I had to say, like, I really do believe in it. I know that it's going to happen. It's just going to be slower than the travel agent stuff. So I don't know if I'm being stubborn or if it's going to pay off. But we've had to change like what we're offering, how many trips we're offering, how we're marketing them to kind of make that work a little bit better. One thing that's really worked that we pivoted on, that I certainly don't think we're alone in this, is working with influencers. Obviously when folks are connecting with a personality, on Instagram or TikTok, and that person is working with us to put together a trip, folks want to sign up because they want to travel with that person. And one thing I've seen is folks are even willing to pay more money, you know, to do the exact same itinerary, but with an influencer that they've connected with. So that also tells me that maybe that's something we need to be better at, is showing our personality more online. People want to travel with us in that way, because obviously it's happening with the travel agents and it's happening with the influencers. So
I think it's great what you just said here. You've got a real finger on the pulse. Okay, you have something in your gut that you feel like, you know what, I know it can work. It's not killing you right now, right? It's not like it's like an anchor, right? The one thing you said that is really important that I want our listeners to pay attention to here is that you're making adjustments, right? If you just keep going down the same lane and you're expecting it to just change, one, you're giving yourself expectations that you know over time, and you're managing the idea that you're getting repeat business, which is great. And then two, you're making adjustments as you go so that it still is more advantageous versus than it was before. And I think that's a really big point in listening to that and what you're saying. And business owners need to, they need to make sure, whether you're CEO or entrepreneur, whatever it is, small business, large business, that is a big key. Watch it. And if you watch it, it will grow. And if it's not growing, then you got to make adjustments. If you make the adjustments, it's not growing. Well, then you probably got to think about it again. For sure. You talked a little bit about influencers, and how do you see technology shaping the future of, you know, your role and your company? You're smiling on that one because I'm sure that it's moving along.
It's definitely something I've thought of, because I've heard some people say like, well, AI can't be guides. I'm like, oh, just you watch. I saw somebody yesterday who was at a robot cafe. You put them on, like, there's robots that can go on tracks and can take you up a trail or something. I think, you know, robots are going to be able to do anything. So who knows as far as that, if a robot's going to steal my job. I do think, I think there has been a shift. I think people, especially my age and younger, are looking for, maybe of any age, are looking for more authentic experiences, kind of in almost rejection of how technological some things have got. I do think people want that kind of like person to person experience. I know that I've seen so many articles about like epidemics of loneliness. So I know we hear all the time, people are looking for community, people are looking for person to person connection. And that's something that we can provide in the outdoors. So in some ways the technology is sort of helping us, in that people are looking for an alternative to technology or an escape from technology, like the fact that the national parks don't all have cell signal. And we hear that feedback all the time. Like, it's stressful to be without your phone, but like how amazing it is to have a few days without that time.
Yes.
So
yes,
in that direction, it's sort of the anti-technology. On the other hand, using things like ChatGPT to help write, you know, marketing, and we definitely have taken advantage of that to save ourselves time with, you know, email marketing and things like that. And then definitely with socials. I mean, that is absolutely something we're trying to, you know, use to our advantage a lot. I also love the fact that, like, you know, we call ourselves an inclusive company. And for me, that also means financial inclusion. So again, we offer tours at lots of different price points. You know, it could be around $1,200. In fact, I think there's even some that are like high 900s for like a week long trip, up to like I'm selling itineraries that are $90,000 for a week long trip, you know, and 5-star hotels with VIP experiences. But we also offer, you know, small group day tours. And then again, with technology, we're able to offer on TikTok just free travel advice for people about, like, you want to go to the national parks and you can't, you know, afford to book a group trip. Here's 5 tips on how to like best experience Yellowstone. So definitely being able to like reach a different audience and provide those free tips that again, can still turn into maybe some portion of that audience ends up booking it on our tours, but we still feel like we're providing value through that, you know, social interaction for folks who maybe can't afford that yet.
Yeah, right. You're given options. And I think that's again, people, they really appreciate that. Mm-hmm. So going back to, you know, we talked about, you know, one of the challenges, but give me one of your most memorable experiences now being as a CEO, and it could be a personal thing, it could be a trip, whatever it is in the business. One of your more memorable, like light bulb moments where you went, wow.
I think this is one really big thing for me, that the first thing that kind of came up when you asked that, is our company retreats. I think, I can tend to be someone who just is in my own bubble. I get my work done. I'm also like whatever the opposite of a micromanager is. Like I said, I hire people because I trust that they can get the job done. And then I think the kind of fault of that is that sometimes I might not be as good at checking in with folks. And I have just seen our guide retreats. We do an in-person guide retreat at the end of every year. And now we're doing in-person guide trainings, like with more regional guides. And that just like the community that is built from that, the investment from the guides, the investment from the team. I hear it every time we do it. People who can get a little crunchy at the end of the guide season, it's stressful. Guiding is stressful. It's long hours. It's really rewarding, but it's some of the hardest work because again, it's long days. You're on, you are performing, it's a very physical job, but it's also like you are kind of acting and you have to be enthusiastic. You have to provide the energy for the day. You might be driving, you know, long distances around a big space. So we can all get a little crunchy by the end of the season. And then we come together and have these retreats where we, you know, work on some professional development, but just kind of work on like being a team and being together. And people feel so refreshed and reconnected after that. And so that's like the biggest thing for me is I remember when I was working for a company in New York and they would always spend a lot of money on the end of year. It was more of a party. So it was like less community building. It was like a night thing. And they would just blow all this money. I'm like, why can't you just give us all raises instead of blowing all this money on, you know, some party. And now I really do realize, especially having it be over multiple days and having chances for people to like hike together and just reconnect. It makes such a difference for the company culture. And I really do believe that like there are folks who that's what gets them through the end of the season.
Gets them through. Yeah. What a great thing. And if there's any company out there, you know, I do a lot of sales training, coaching events, coaching sales events. And that's one of the things you got to do is you don't want to make it like work. Mm-hmm. You got to make it fun. And if they can be learning something along with interacting and also having some fun with it, and you've got the secret sauce right there.
Oh my gosh. And the thing is, we all love this stuff. So like I love sharing. There's so much knowledge on our guide team. And like I said, I don't have to be the expert on everything. I mean, we've got one guy on our team who he is just a bear expert. He's seen every type, every species of bear in the wild, all around the world. I mean, you want to see a bear in Yellowstone and Grand Teton or really anywhere around the world, we send you with Kevin and he can find you like 12 bears in a day when other guide services might not find any. He's amazing. And so he did a talk about, you know, bears there. We all know about bears. We guide in the park, but it's just so amazing to learn from, you know, someone who's an expert, Matt, in geology, like that's his expertise. And so to be able to like have the guides share their own expertise with the rest of the guide team, they're feeling good because everybody's, you know, praising them. They get to be the expert, but this is all stuff we're interested in. You know, we're not learning something that we don't genuinely like. I'm like, yeah, talk to me. Who doesn't want to hear about bears? We all love bears. And then right. Kevin also brought out like a telescope he had, and we saw the rings of Saturn from the rooftop of our, you know, James Bond looking house in Escalante. It was incredible, you know? So everybody was just feeling good and learning and just spending time together. It's fantastic. And I think I can, when I'm in the weeds of like the day to day, I can, kind of forget how important that is to kind of spend that time connecting with your team. But it makes such a difference.
That's great. That is great. All right. So you're at this point now, you're at 4 years, mm-hmm. right? And just looking back a little bit, for somebody who's thinking about getting into business for themselves, mm-hmm. what are some words of advice that you would give them mm-hmm. going into this, who are looking to start? And it could be a travel business, mm-hmm. could be any business, yeah. but any business. What kind of words of advice would you give them?
So the biggest thing to me, and I feel like I'm a little lucky because I'm like this naturally, is I don't tend to overthink things. And I've heard this from like tech startup businesses, like just get something out there and you can perfect it later. And that's not to say like, don't put out a really good product. Like I'm not saying like put out crap and people yes. will buy it. But I have seen people overthink their product and just take years and years and years. Like, is this the right product? Is this exactly what I want to offer? I'm like, put something good out and then continue to refine it. Get feedback. I am an editor for Great. Sure. I'm not someone like I would rather take someone else's, you know, written work and edit it as opposed to come up with my own. So I love getting feedback from people, but I don't want to be held back by. Not that I'm not a perfectionist in some ways, but get something out and we can work on perfecting it, because, you know, if you can be the first person to put out a particular product, people are going to associate that product with you. So I do think people can kind of waste their time overthinking and trying to get it perfect. It's never going to be perfect, but it can always be improved, you know? So
there you go. That is such great advice. What a great answer. It is so true. Mm-hmm. Overthinking things. Oh, this has to be perfect. Mm-hmm. Oh, that has to be. What about this? What if this happens? Which sometimes that doesn't even happen anyway.
Yeah. Something else you happens just, that you couldn't have predicted. And so you spend all this time imaginary solving some other problem, and it's actually this one you got to solve. And you just couldn't have known that if you didn't just kind of do it, you know?
Yeah, I got to tell you, it's great advice. Yeah. You just got to get started. Mm-hmm. Just get started. You'll figure out things along the way as you go on. And that's part of being an entrepreneur. That's mm-hmm. part of running a business. That's mm-hmm. part of being a leader, is things aren't going to be perfect all the time. And you're going to have to adjust as you go. You're adjusting today. Mm-hmm. I mean, totally. you're going to continue to do that. I think it's just that you get better at it. Mm-hmm. How hard is it to be an entrepreneur? I mean, I always say this, and I said it on a podcast, I think it was yesterday. Mm-hmm. Everybody glamorizes the idea of being an entrepreneur, and they, you know, you get social media stuff, guys mm-hmm. riding their cars, flipping their money, yelling at people and telling them they need to get off their asses and all this stuff. But more importantly, I know it's hard. Mm-hmm. I've lived that life. Mm-hmm. But can you give some insight? I know it's rewarding too, mm-hmm. but give me your feedback on both of those sides.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard. You're not wrong. It's hard. And I think it probably depends on the business. It depends on the type of person you are, whether it's harder or easier. It's probably easier if I didn't personally care so much about all of my employees, if I could be a little bit more, you know, a capitalist about it. But it's hard. It's long hours. It's blood, sweat, and tears in your business. If you love your business, and if you genuinely, like I said, not only do I genuinely care about my staff, but I genuinely care about whether people are having a good time in the national parks on our trips. I mean, if something goes wrong on a trip, I mean, I'm sobbing. I am in tears. I am like this. Like I said, I can be a bit of a perfectionist, but it's because I know these experiences are so important to people. I mean, these are people's vacations. As Americans, we don't get a ton of vacation time. You put your trust in me. This is time that you can connect with your family. This is time that you can connect with natural spaces. So it means a lot to me. Not that things go wrong often, thank goodness, on our trips. We've got a really great team making sure about that. But it's a lot of stress. It's a lot of pressure. It is a lot of reward. I mean, I'm so proud of my team, and I'm so proud of, you know, what we offer. I really do think that what we offer is the best of the best. And that's amazing to be able to say. Again, we were just accepted into Virtuoso, which is the best of the best of, as we were accepted as an on-site or a destination management company and, as an in-house tour operator. And that just shows how good our product is and how hard we've worked in such a short amount of time. I mean, we were accepted basically the day we could have been accepted as far as like our age and our income and things like that. And the fact that they had heard of us before that, like there's so much to be proud of, but yeah, there's definitely been a lot of tears. I will also say though, that I love my business partners because we are definitely trying to create an environment where it's okay to share that. Like it's okay to share when we're struggling. It's okay to share that if we're not having a great time, but we also try to make sure to share thanks for each other and the support that we're given. Like two of us have had family emergencies in the last couple of weeks, and being able to like rely on a team and be honest with our team about the fact that we're struggling a little bit and we need a little bit of extra space and grace. And the team will pick that up. I mean, that's the biggest reward. And it gets a little easier every year for sure. Again, we're not quite five yet. So everybody says that fifth year is going to be, a big turn. So one more year.
Yeah. You're right there. Listen, you're doing great. And I think it comes back to this. And if the people who are listening out there, pay attention to what she keeps saying. It's the people. Okay. Mm-hmm. Leadership is hard. We did a podcast on leadership and really, you think leader, you think that one person, mm-hmm. but realistically, when you're the leader, it actually opens the floodgates for all the people that you're interacting mm-hmm. with in your organization. It actually, you have to put them first now mm-hmm. in being the leader versus the one person who's just leading. And I always say that it's not a person who's standing up in the room who's the leader. Mm-hmm. It's everybody every day who are doing the tours for you and your partners. And you are too. I can tell you that in a second. But it's about the people. And I think you really have to put that into context as you go along. And not only even the people who are working with you, but it's the people that you just said who are doing the tours. I mean, that's huge for you. And that carries a lot of weight. Mm-hmm. All right. This has been fantastic. All right. Before we go, I got one more question for you. What is in the future for Good Trip Adventures?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. And we had a little owners meeting. Yes, we have a weekly owners meeting. But in our owners meeting yesterday, we kind of talked about what we want growth to look like for us. I think I've always wanted to be someone who works at a company that's small enough that I kind of know everyone that works there. And I know that growth is really appealing. I also know that we've built ourselves as being this one-stop shop for the U.S. national parks. And I want to be that. We have people requesting, like, we traveled with you in X park. Now we want to travel in Z park with you as well, because we had such a great experience. And so it's been really tempting to kind of expand and grow into new regions. And again, it's been really rewarding. It's also been hard. And I have seen a little bit that we've been doing this kind of almost like growth for growth's sake. Like, we're adding more parks and then we have to add more, revenue, and we have to hire more people to kind of operate that revenue. And now, as we're coming into our fourth year, I kind of mentioned to the other owners that I would really like to pause a little bit on growth and just spend a year trying to stay the same size, but tightening things up a little bit. We've spent this past maybe 6 months really implementing some new systems, a new booking system, a new CRM, all these kind of, so talking about tech again, things I failed to mention, all this new tech that we're putting in behind the scenes that's hopefully going to make our job a little easier. We're working with this amazing, financial strategist that kind of put it this way. She was like, let the computers do the computering and the humans do the humaning. So much stuff that we were spinning our wheels on and spending human time to do that computers can do, so making a lot of those shifts. So can we kind of spend the next year staying the same size, staying in the same parks, maybe keeping the same size team, maybe one or two strategic hires to, again, help with some of that time, but just kind of take a year and try to like breathe a little bit. So we can expand if we do decide to expand in the future with a little bit more intentionality. So what that is probably going to look like is you know, 2025 will probably look a lot like 2024 is in terms of like what parks we're offering, what types of tours we're offering. There's just been so much growth in the past 4 years.
Yeah.
Like I said, adding new parks, adding new, you know, we added a lot of bike tours in a lot of parks where we had only offered hiking and interpretive tours. So yeah, a little bit more like a strategic pause in growth would be the big thing. Yeah.
So essentially what you're saying is you just want to become more efficient because what you're going to do is put those efficiencies in place and then set up your company for scalability.
Exactly.
And I think it's a great perspective, especially we've been, you know, running and running for 4 years.
Yeah.
It's a good perspective. And, I'm real excited for you and your company and everybody involved in it.
We're
going to check back in with you down the road and see how things are going.
For sure. Yeah. When we're a teenage company as opposed to a toddler.
We're teenagers. For sure. Yeah. And where can people find you? Where can they find you?
Yeah. So goodtripadventures.com is the way. That's where you can find all the information about our tour offerings, what we do, where we do it. That's another big thing that's coming up is a lot of things are going to be announced around our fourth birthday. We've got some contests. We have a new website, a new look that's coming out April 20th. Yeah. All of this is coming out then. On Instagram, Good Trip Adventures. On TikTok, Good Trip Adventures. We're on YouTube, Facebook, kind of anywhere you can find people, Good Trip Adventures.
Love it. Megan Kennedy, thank you for being on the show. You did a great job.
Thank you so much.
I think it was very insightful. And check us out at salesperformance.com. Like the show, go to YouTube, go to the podcast shows, go to Spotify, check us out, share it. We appreciate all your support out there, and we will see you next time. Thanks again.
Thank you.